Blog Talk Radio.
First came out as possible suicide. They both took One took a shot to the hand, the other one to the stomach. And then we had the two troopers up in Pennsylvania that were ambushed. So it was a tragic day for all law enforcement officers. And we're going to take a moment of silence to honor those guys. Ty, it's good to have you back. We appreciate everything you do every week.
Sir, it's good to be back. It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to wax poetic about the sport we love with you and Zito. So I'm glad you guys held the fort down, and I'm happy to be back.
Great. How about a fast medical update on our friend from Merritt Island?
He's doing quite well. He's actually just doing a little bit of local traveling, just getting away from the house, really relaxing and taking it one day at a time. He says hi to everyone.
Excellent. That's great. And Z, your son back at school now?
Yes, sir. Not only that, we this week we took my daughter back, to school. My oldest daughter is starting her first year of school at Wesley College down Dover. So.
Nice.
And we got my son off. He's going on his year, and we got my daughter off. She's on her freshman year. So thank you very much about asking about that.
Nice. Much. I'm glad. We got a big fight tonight, huh? Terrence Crawford against Justin Ndungo.
Absolutely.
What do you think of that one?
Yes.
What
makes this such a big fight is Julius Ndongo holds two of the four belts. Terrence Crawford holds two of the four belts at 140. We haven't had a four-belt unification since Bernard Hopkins lost his four belts in his first fight with Meldrick Taylor. So that's how long this has been. The only four-belt unification before that was when Oscar De La Hoya got knocked out against that same Bernard Hopkins. The WBO sanctioning body, they had just created their belt. So this, such is why we get a four-belt unification. So in that sense, it's really, you know, a very unique thing in boxing, specifically with the politicized relationships of the sanctioning bodies and the fighters and mandatories. You don't get this ever, you know. Do we get a four-belt unification? And chances are, once this happens, whoever wins is not going to be able to hold on all four belts because essentially you'd have to fight four mandatories in a year. We know that doesn't happen because guys choose money fights.
True.
So that's what makes this such a magnificent, tremendous event in boxing.
Great. Z, you want to talk about their style?
Absolutely. Physical dimensions have a lot to do with this fight. Terrence Crawford is about 5'8" and some change. Five eight and some change, maybe. And Ndongo is 5'10". He has the reach. He has the height. Terrence Crawford, I mean, size for size, Ndongo may be the bigger guy. Terrence Crawford's faced that in style. Terrence Crawford is the technically cleaner guy. He's also the favorite, understandably. With that said, this is a dangerous fight for Terrence Crawford. Ndongo presents not a stylistic matchup. I mean, that too. Stylistic matchup, physical dimension matchup. It's more or less a kind of a just an awkward matchup. For the simple fact that when a clean guy faces, I mean, Crawford, he's clean. He has some leaks in his defense at times, but his timing and his offense, certain things are on point with Crawford to where he can dominate a fight. And Ndongo has those things too in kind of raw natural form. The guy can fight. One thing is this much. That's his trademark. He's meant to fight. So Crawford's not going to establish anything different as far as intimidation. With that said, when the punches start flying and when clean starts getting the clean, and Dango gives up his height. He gives up his reach. He gives up his form. More important than anything, and Dango gives up his form. And he throws in bunches. Now, Ty and I were observing the Ndongo fight against Ricky Burns, and Ricky Burns didn't have a lot of tape on him. I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on that. He didn't have a whole bunch of studying. And when you can't really study somebody, you can't spar against somebody like them when you get to a certain level. That's what I respect about the certain. When you get to a certain level, you need to get the right position for opponents. Period. And I'm gonna give Ricky Burns the fact he didn't have that. With that said, you're a fighter. You have to adjust. And Dango presents the problem where it's hard to adjust against a guy like him. He's herky jerky. He throws punches, maybe looping punches, but they come from so many angles, and they come all the time. And Dango's not an inside fighter. And that herky-jerky thing, it has something to do with distance. He tosses jab a lot, but he has set it up, and he'll start throwing looping left hands. He's a southpaw. He'll start throwing looping left hands. So when you get a bead on those looping left hands, he'll throw a swiping right hook, a strong swiping right hook. So he's not a guy you can get a real good read on. What I'm going to say is this, and if you don't mind, after this, I do want to get a little soapbox, Butch. I don't want to talk too much, but I do need a soapbox. This fight here is a very, very good matchup. It's an undercover matchup. It's a good matchup. And when you see them face off, you see the intensity in both. I mean, and Ndongo's not as experienced. He hasn't been on certain levels as Crawford, but that doesn't mean the guy can't win. So when you get the fight like this, these guys, it reminds me of Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns a little bit. Just the stature, magnitude, but this fight here it kind of even stylistically matches up like that. But, you guys go ahead.
That's all right.
Well, you know what? I think the big thing, too, and Zito, you kind of stated this when you talked about the intensity of both fighters after the knockdown. And Ndongo didn't blink. He didn't take a step back. He didn't turn his face away. He wasn't intimidated. He didn't shy away from the moment. And that's
Crawford
the wild
was the first
card.
To
the
do
wild
it.
Card is Ndongo. So, I sit back and I watch, Ndongo fight, and I see certain holes that, a skilled technician like Crawford could take advantage of. Ndongo has a bit of a slugger in him. So you see some things that Crawford could take advantage of. But what makes Ndongo such a wild card is this kid had only fought in Namibia, right? He only fought in Namibia, only fought in Africa. And he gets a shot at Eduardo Troyanowski, who at the time was blistering red hot, right? Like 25-0 with 23 knockouts. And Ndongo does, he goes into Russia and starches Troyanowski within the first round. And then, so they say, all right, here's a bigger ask. Go over to Scotland, Glasgow, and face Ricky Burns. Now, the atmosphere he faced in Glasgow will dwarf the atmosphere he's going to face tonight. He's not facing, obviously, Terrence Crawford's a much better fighter than Ricky Burns. That's already been proven in the ring when they fought each other. However, we're talking about a hostile crowd. Let me tell you, Nebraska will not compare to Glasgow, Scotland. And he went over there, and he whitewashed Ricky Burns. So Ndongo is fearless, and the guy, not only does he not know how to lose yet, but he's proven that he is not intimidated to fight on your home turf in the biggest stage. So the biggest thing is he is a wild card. There are things, like Zito said, that you can see Terrence Crawford is the better fighter of the two. But he does have these wild card variables, along with the world-class, along with a very unique, rangy physicality to him. So that makes him a very dangerous fighter.
Absolutely. You guys don't mind me getting on a soapbox real fast, do you?
Nope.
No, actually, I think it's a perfect time for that, Zita.
Yep.
All right. Well, here's my soapbox. And this is going to be a very unpopular soapbox. But I'm up on my pedestal, and I'm going to say this much. We have a unification bout in boxing that is getting no press. And I'm having to deal with everything I go online, all the news about boxing is about Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. It comes a point in time to where boxing is boxing. You know what? Whoever wins the fight between Crawford and Dango, they're going to move on. They're going to go ahead, and they're going to defend against somebody just as worthy as them. Well, maybe not immediately, but they're going to eventually have to. Floyd Mayweather McGregor is going nowhere. I mean, people don't understand the fact that this is the one-time ordeal to where these guys are going to fight whatever the outcome, we're going to talk about it. But then after that, no guy goes anywhere in any other guy's sport. This is not a crossover thing. It's not like if Floyd Mayweather beats Conor McGregor, he's going to go to MMA and dominate. It's not like if Conor McGregor knocks Floyd Mayweather out, he's going to go to boxing and dominate. I mean, it's coming to the point to where we have real, legitimate boxing news. We have real, legitimate mixed martial arts news, MMA, UFC news, Strike Force news, Bellator news. We have real news in fighting sports that's getting underlooked, undershadowed, undercovered because of this one sideshow. And to be honest, it's a sideshow because nobody is getting any advancing titles. Nobody's going to defend it after this, not in the realm of what anybody would, either one of these fighters do. My soapbox is this. The press is, I want to be one of the members of the press to say, this is getting ridiculous from the other members. It's
right.
Getting totally ridiculous to where
right.
We have legitimate things going on and we're not covering that. All we're covering is this one thing. It's enough to cover it, but every site is covering the same exact thing. And they're repeating it. It's not like they cover it and move on. They repeat the coverage. So all I'm saying is, please, just let's get the other more relevant news in each respective atmospheres.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Good. Hey guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm sitting there listening.
We're talking
there.
About the Terrence Crawford fight tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, I already picked that one. I already picked Crawford.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dr. Chris. I was feeling just a certain sort of way about going through the press and reading everything through the visual press, what you hear, what you look up. Everything is all about one thing, and we have legitimate things going on in both respective atmospheres. So.
I agree. I know what you're saying. I mean, I have yet to see Conor McGregor spar with a legitimate welterweight contender. Have you guys seen him yet?
No.
You've seen him with Tendo?
No, I haven't
seen him. I think they're keeping it a secret they don't want you to see how bad he is, because he's nothing but a raw amateur as a boxer. I mean, he's got a wild, wild outside chance as a puncher, maybe at getting lucky. But he should get the living hell beat out of him, even though Mayweather's not a hard puncher. But he sure hell can take him out. And what in the hell's going on? I think if they show him sparring with a legitimate welterweight or junior middleweight, can you imagine him with a big junior middleweight? They're going to see, hey, wait a minute, this guy don't have it. I think it's another Pacquiao Mayweather fiasco, where Pacquiao wasn't ready and he fought anyway. I mean, McGregor's just in it for the money. That's why he gave up everything. You got an amateur fighting a seasoned, respected, highly skilled professional. And the only thing chance McGregor, Conor McGregor has is Mayweather's age. And I don't think there's been, he's probably the best conditioned guy in between fights that anybody ever saw. He's never out of shape.
Yeah.
He's never out of shape. He's always in great shape. So I'm looking to see, McGregor get pounded.
Well,
I can't see it any other way. I mean,
besides being a good fighter, he is a terrific PR man for himself. Now, this week he even got his father to go on Yahoo saying that if McGregor wins or if McGregor uses any kind of MMA kick or anything like that, that he's going to sue. It was a fluff story, about 7 lines, but at least, he got the headlines again. That's exactly what he is saying. There's a lot of puff for nothing.
I mean, you see it on every night. It's all access. They got it on every night on a different channel where all access is McGregor and never once have I seen him spar. He's hitting the mitts. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks good on the mitts.
Even you.
I'm anxious to see one good. Well, they're smart enough not to put it on because it might kill the gate. If you see how bad he is.
We have one guy that could probably get in there and spar with him. That's the Lord of Bonita Springs, who happened to join us.
Hey, even Chris, like he said, even Chris will score with the pads. Man, he killed those pads.
Hey, as long as them pads don't hit back, I'm hell, man.
I talked to Chris yesterday, and he said, I'll call you right back, and I haven't left this spot yet. I guess he's going to call me back sometime.
Yeah, you misunderstood me. You misunderstood me.
Hey, gentlemen.
I have some news I want
to tell you about my podcast on Tuesdays. But, even though you had this editorial about this fight, you guys are still talking about it, So they are controlling the news, and I don't think anything's going to be done about it. As you know, I'm against this sport altogether, as I am against football. But once you reach 18, it's a free market out there. It's a free world. If you want to get your brain beat up, these guys have that option, and I'm not going to be the one to take it away from them. But in October, on my show, Dr. Ron Unfiltered Uncensored, I'm going to have Dr. Bennett Amalu on. Dr. Amalu made the discovery of chronic traumatic encephalopathy in that football player, right? Webster. And, I'm going to have him on for a couple hours. I'm going to have Joe Walton on, former Football League player. I'm going to have Dean Burke, a former NFL guy. I'm going to have Janet Doman, a brain injury specialist. I'm going to have some guy named Butch chime in. It's going to be a good program. Tuesdays at 4, I'll let Butch know, and maybe if you have an interest in hearing Dr. Amalu. And even Joe Walton told me yesterday he didn't let his son play football until he was a freshman in high school. So that's my two cents. I just don't like to see guys beating each other's brains out, and that's all that the sport is just hit each other in the brains. But as I said, you know, we live in a free country so far. And when you're 18, you can make that decision.
Hey Ron, I want to see Dr. Mahu go one-on-one with Tex Scott. What an interview. I want to listen to that one.
Well, Tex Scott can't talk, so what the hell? And Amalu doesn't do sign language.
Tex Scott, he's been to college, he got a degree, and he gets smarter as he gets older.
Yes, you know? Well, that's what that's like the same guy that thinks he can hit a bag, you know? He's hitting.
Amalu will say, what the hell? Where the hell did this guy come from?
Nigeria.
Yeah.
What do you got? Is this a race problem now? You have a problem with Nigerians?
Wow. Dr. Ron. Oh, this
yes.
is Vito. I wanted to ask a question about. Now, I don't know how to pronounce exactly what you said, but can you briefly describe that, and can you tell us the specific effects it will have on a boxer?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in it, but the disease is called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It comes from repeated blows to the head. The brain is in a closed space. It's got no place to go but hit against the sides of the skull. So it's a cumulative disorder. It's chronic.
Oh.
It doesn't occur with the first hit. And the symptoms can be neurodegenerative, like an ALS type of thing. It could be Parkinson's disease, like Ali had. It can be severe depression and loss of the will to live, like a lot of these football players that commit suicide.
Junior,
it can be just a loss of life as we know it, as we would like to see it in our years that they retire. And it could be, you know, a form of ADD as you get older. And a lot of these guys that have taken these hits just don't function well. Now, there are people that do. I'm not saying they don't. I was talking to Joe yesterday, Joe Walton. He said some of his friends are doing well after all the hits they take. But isn't that normal? I mean, some people survive cancer, some don't, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it isn't 100%. The time to start taking these hits is that when you're a kid. It's probably when you're older.
And when
you
say,
what, guys, just for the record too, it's, you know, it's obviously more commonly known as CTE, and obviously scientists and doctors are really now just starting to really start to, you know, discover the long term effects and damages of it. Obviously, you know, that 80 to 90 are with it. And one of the things I wanted to mention is CTE was what was cited in part of Tim Bradley's decision to retire. He specifically said CTE. He specifically said he knows the damage is already done, but he doesn't want to continue to do more damage to his brain, literally. So, Dr. Ron, everything you're saying is very valid.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, and I'm not on a crusade here. You know, science doesn't lie, and Dr. Amalu's new book, Truth Doesn't Have a Side. I really recommend you read it. Truth Doesn't Have a Side. I mean, the truth is the truth, and science is science.
Yeah,
and we live in an alternative little universe of our own because, you know, we like this sport and that sport, whatever, and we rationalize it. But, yeah, as long as we know the risks, then you know, you weigh the benefits against the risk, and then you take your shot.
Dr. Meyer, let me ask you this. When you speak about saying that, and you know, you're really talking about these sports that cause head trauma, obviously. So when you talk about wanting to see these sports banned, what do you think the reality of that actually happening is? Obviously, that's tough with big money, big business. But I guess the other question is, what efforts are being done, and by whom, to possibly make this a reality?
Right. Well, I think, again, we live in a free country, so I think, you know, I think as people realize that there is...
What are you guys talking about? I had a boxer's gap.
Mm-hmm.
That's that one shot I took from at Lloyd Field. I lost it for a minute, guys. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know what? You know what? It all boils down to what a guy wants to do with his life.
Exactly.
It all boils down... Exactly. What do you want to do with your life? You want to? I heard a guy say one time, "I'd rather die than lose my championship." Mm-hmm. If I get killed during my championship, I led a good life. I was a champion. So what?
That makes a good champion.
I mean,
that makes a good champion.
Yeah, so, you know, I could get killed in a car accident. I could get killed anywhere. I could. What's crazier than driving a car around a track at 170, 190 miles an hour? I mean, it's the risk and it's the excitement. People want to watch other people do crazy things. And everybody's trying to make a big buck,
well,
big living.
You know,
so
Chris, there's no moral equivalency in anything you said. The science is behind the boxing and the head trauma.
Yeah.
There's plenty of protection in NASCAR racing. And again, but I always go back to my point is you have a choice. And if you don't, you want to be knocked silly and commit suicide later in life and leave your family, I mean, that's your choice. I mean, and I fully support that. I don't believe it should be banned. I think they should look for ways to improve. But the science is there to back up Dr. Amalo.
And here's a question I'm going to pose to Aaron. There's a difference. There's banning and there's regulation. Would it be more feasible to ban or to regulate? Because if you can regulate to where certain individuals who can be regulated not to be in certain things cannot be in certain things, then maybe things would be run a little better. If
I don't think banning is the answer because that, you know, if you tell a kid don't touch that match, he's going to touch it. I don't think banning is the answer. I think knowledge is the answer and being educated and what could happen. I'm not for banning because that could start a whole domino effect and everything. So
and
knowledge is the answer.
I think true regulation, true knowledge starts with, I mean, yeah, knowledge is the overall thing. You start with knowledge first. But then when you start talking about banning, you start disincluding.
Yeah, and I would never say that being an American citizen. I would never say that.
And I'm thinking about just regulation, more or less true regulation. Now, when you're dealing with as far as advancing. I don't want to say, you know, getting to any social subjects, but once you start getting into monetary things, you start having ulterior motives. That's kind of where boxing is. That's why boxing doesn't have a regulatory thing now, because the people that's actually involved, football players can I'm going to be honest, when you get to certain sports, it gets a little more intellectual as far as just the general thinking. Boxing is kind of low. And I think not enough boxers assert themselves on a mental level that they're capable of doing. I mean, just taking punches to the head doesn't make you stupid.
Exactly.
So I think boxers could assert themselves more to make what's going on better for, you know, them and the coming up generation, coming up boxers.
Well,
because right now, United States boxing, I hate the way it's going. And it's going to get worse just the way it's looking. You look the world around, they're investing in boxing. United States, we're non-invested. We're taking money away.
Well, gentlemen, I have to go, but I just make a point that don't put your head in the sand when it comes to CTE. You have to recognize it, and then once you recognize it, then you start on a path maybe to improve the outcome of people that take head hits. And the main thing is, as Dr. Amalo says, is rugby and football right now. So I will tell Butch and Chris when he's going to be on my program. He gave me three things I have to do before he's going to come on, and I'm accomplishing that now. And then we'll have a program with Dr. Amalo. Thank you, Frank.
Coming on Tuesday, Dr. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm Tuesdays at 4, but, you know, 24/7 on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Blueberry, iTunes. It's on all the RSS feeds. But and the show is Dr. Ron Unfiltered, Uncensored.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for getting off point on you.
No. Everything is on point. Everything, that's the thing is, that, you know, we should be discussing this out in the open without really taking hard sides, except if the science is there.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. We all appreciate you.
Thank you so much, and I hope to have more time next week. I have an engagement I have to get to. See you, Chris.
Bye,
Ronnie.
Dr. Murray.
Take it easy.
Ciao.
Hey, Ty, I want to ask you about Dylan White has a fight coming up against Matthew Tal.
Right.
He wants to move it. It's originally set for Vegas, but he wants to move it. No, I'm sorry. That's another one. He wants to take on, if he wins this, he wants to take on Deontay Wilder. What's your thoughts on that? Is he capable of being in the ring with Deontay Wilder?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely capable of being in the ring with Deontay Wilder. I don't think he beats Deontay Wilder at this stage, but he's definitely, you know, capable of being in the ring. And again, I only said I don't think he beats Deontay. He definitely has a chance. He has gone on record as saying that he is trying to get Deontay Wilder in the ring. Obviously, Deontay Wilder and his team are possibly looking to make a Lewis Ortiz fight. Lewis Ortiz is calling out Anthony Joshua. So how the chips may fall, you know, only time will determine. But, you know, any of those guys in the mix right now would be pretty interesting because still to this day, even though we have, you know, definitely Tier 1 and Tier 2, everybody still to a certain extent is very green. So, like, even though Anthony Joshua is the lineal, you know, heavyweight champion, you know, because Tyson Fury is basically retired, he's still green. You know, he's still not the finished product. Deontay Wilder, he could be the finished product, but he's still kind of raw in the way he fights, you know. So none of these guys is really developed into that finished article, you know, that clean, polished diamond that you would expect to see out of your heavyweight champion. We haven't gotten there yet with the development of these guys. So all the fights are interesting. They're clear favorites. But, you know, you put Dylan White in against any of these guys, and he's guaranteed to make a fight out of
him. Right. So the next question I had was, and I mixed the last two up, was we got Anthony Joshua has a fight with Pulev coming up, and he wants to move it from Vegas to Cardiff because he feels that he can get a bigger purse out of it. What's your thoughts on that one?
Oh, you could definitely get a bigger purse out of it. Obviously, the gate alone is going to destroy Las Vegas' gate. He's probably going to fight in a bigger arena. Everybody's going to come out to see him. He's become a global attraction. In a sense, he's being built to be a global attraction, I have to say, and he's becoming one. But that's how he's being built. It makes much more sense for him to fight in Cardiff. He doesn't really have an opponent that's going to bring the, you know, United States dollars. He doesn't have a Deontay Wilder in a ring, so it makes no sense for him to come to the United States where he doesn't have a guy that, you know, anyone in the United States is really going to rush out to see. It makes much more sense for him to, you know, draw the biggest crowd, get the biggest television revenue he can right in his backyard.
Zeke, you had mentioned earlier in the program, you talked about Timothy Bradley retiring. I don't know if you saw it this week. They've replaced him at ESPN. For the next two fights with Andre Ward. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it has something to do with the his retirement?
He got placed where with Andre Ward? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Andre Ward is going to replace him as a ring announcer for the next two ESPN fights.
You know what? And here's what I don't like about that. That has, it sounds like it has everything to do with him arguing with Teddy Atlas at the Horn Pacquiao thing. Him having a kind of a separate viewpoint how things went. And just because Timothy Bradley, I mean, I don't know if it was his choice, but the way it looked, in the way everything seems to sound, I mean, it sounds very political. It sounds very, mm-hmm. extremely political. And one thing is, Andre Ward is hot now. He's hot. He beat Kovalev. He's the name. And he is a very articulate young man, too. I mean, him and Tim Bradley, they're similar. They both know boxing. So
Let me just ask you guys a question. Did something come out saying there was, like, some kind of dissension in the ranks between Bradley and ESPN? Because if not, then perhaps Bradley's just on vacation, or, you know, literally. I mean, he just retired from boxing. He's millions of dollars. He could just be going to Italy with his family for the summer or something. So, like, was something said that, you know, was there an article or something written that let it...
on Fightin' Words, or Fight News the other yesterday. It just came out that as a last-minute substitute on the ESPN team, Andre Ward replaces Timothy Bradley.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to get more to the bottom of that because, you know, yeah. I mean, last-minute substitute, it could be they had an argument or it could be Timmy Bradley all of a sudden couldn't do it. So it'd be pretty interesting to see what happened. Now, for two fights, though, you know, you know, contingent upon how spaced apart those fights could be, it'd be interesting to see what happened.
And I'm thinking Tim is still under contract. So he's still, I mean, he still has some time with ESPN. So,
let
me
ask
all of you, the timing sounds a little crazy.
Yeah, it does. Sean Porter pulled out of his fight with Thomas DeLome this last week. He said due to a death in the family. Do you think that that had any, that he just lost concentration, or what's your thoughts?
Oh, I think that's definitely what happened. You know, Sean Porter is a stand-up, really stand-up guy. You know, one of the very few that are left in boxing outside of, you know, most boxers are, but, you know, he's a really stand-up character. And Sean Porter ducks no one. Actually, I was surprised he actually even took the fight because, to me, there was really nothing in the fight for him. Nothing was really offered in that fight for him. So I was really kind of surprised he took that. So, you know, he had nothing to gain except, you know, it was a big card. That's it. But he had really nothing to gain by fighting Thomas DeLorme anyway. So, you know, obviously family is more important a lot of times, especially if you have your family kind of provided for because of the living you make. You can take the time to go ahead and be there for family, and I think that's what he, you know, obviously chose to do. Plus, it's been mandated by one of the sanctioning bodies for he and Danny Garcia to fight, and he's looking to pursue that fight anyway. So I think, you know, like I said, recognition to casual fans, that's what he would have gained by being on this card. But outside of that, it was all risk and very little reward. It does nothing for his for him to beat Thomas DeLorme other than to stay busy, you know. So.
Okay. Hey, Chris, Anthony Joshua came out this week in Fight News and said that he was profoundly, I like that word, disappointed in Klitschko's retirement. He wanted a rematch. What do you think about that?
No, well, I would believe he's telling the truth. He because that fight left a little doubt in everybody's mind because he got dumped right on his butt by a hell of a right hand, and he probably feels as though he wants to show everybody he's a more superior a fighter than it appeared that night. That could have gone any way at that round. When he got knocked out, that fight could have gone any way. And it went his way, of course, because he came back. But, you know, I think he was, you know, he wanted to he wanted to show everybody he's better than he looked that night. I think he'd like to show everybody that knockdown punch was luck. Blah blah blah. You know, it wasn't a total win. He got, you know, and Klitschko had a chance in that fight. So I think he wants to redeem any doubt in anybody's mind about that fight. And you can't blame him.
I think another thing you have to factor in too is that Klitschko and Joshua had, you know, potentially the fight of the year because of the magnitude and the competitiveness of the fight. Definitely had, you know, maybe the best heavyweight title fight in the last 10 or 20 years or so, right? So it was a huge fight. Klitschko's a big name. Now Joshua's a big name. So I think one of the reasons why he's profoundly disappointed is because of the millions of reasons why he's profoundly disappointed. How much do you guys think he's getting paid for Pulev, and how much do you think he would get paid for that rematch with Klitschko? So he has millions of reasons to be disappointed. Don't discount the motivation factor of money. That's why these guys do this.
Right. The biggest money fight out there is a rematch. He knows everything else is going to be secondary. So, I think he likes to show everybody that he's more dominant than he was. But he knows that's where it would be a hell of a payday for him.
Hell yeah. That would be the biggest payday. It would be bigger than the first fight, and it's bigger than Deontay Wilder, which would be the second biggest payday. So the Klitschko rematch would be the biggest payday this kid can make, period, right now. And to see that go out the window, and you got to fight Pulev, damn it, I want to fight Carter, not Vegas. I got to get paid some way, because he would make even less money fighting Pulev in Vegas than he will in Carter. Definitely. I'd be profoundly disappointed, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd rather fight for the big money than just a payday. And then that would have been a big worldwide fight, because everybody would pay for that one. And, you can understand the guy don't want to fight for peanuts, because you do risk no matter who you're fighting at heavyweight division, you always risk getting knocked the hell out. Them guys are all hit, they're all big. So you don't want to take a risk for nothing.
You would get more credit for going ahead and beating Vladimir Klitschko and stamping that close than you will for beating Pulev. Klitschko already beat Pulev.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to the heavyweight division, it's always about what's next. If you beat this guy, what's next? There's no stepping stones, really. Everybody's sort of the same stepping stone, if you want to be honest. Who's at the, Joshua, yeah. You want to get to Joshua, but to be honest, he could be a stepping stone to Wilder. At the same time, Wilder could be a stepping stone to Joshua. Ortiz could be a stepping stone to everybody. Not underrating these guys, but then which guy's above one? Pulev could go ahead and wipe Joshua out. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised. He's more experienced. He's a big guy. When it comes to the heavyweight division right now, there is no clear-cut anything, because right now, Wilder's not really trying to fight anybody. Well, he's talking about Ortiz. Let me see that happen, and then I'll talk more credible about Wilder. Joshua, right now, he's the one that I'm going to say is I see him improving, and I see him wanting to fight a better competition. His biggest win was the best guy, but before then, he didn't fight anybody, really. So, where are we at here? Amador has fought better competition to me than Wilder and Joshua outside of Klitschko. He's fought better competition. Where is he at?
You don't want to kill off the competition. No, that's all right. You don't want to kill off the competition early, then what the hell's left? So if you put Wilder and Klitschko in, if you put Wilder and Joshua in there, what do you come out with, one guy? Then what's left? Who's Wilder or who does Joshua fight next? You don't want to kill that competition off, especially when they're all young and inexperienced. Wilder's got a long way to go to be the complete fighter. Joshua's got a way to go to be the complete fighter. So why kill off the competition? I don't really want to see it as much as I like the sport. I really don't want to see them knock each other off, too early in their careers. There's so few and far in between the great, great heavyweights. I don't want to see them all fight the same month. and then what the hell do you watch for the next 10 years? You know what I mean? I would like to see take a little time. Wilder, I saw a rerun of his one of his fights the other night. He's not 100%. He's got a ways to go. He's got a long way to go. Joshua's got a long way to go. Everybody's got a long way to go. But but rematches, getting back to rematches, in the day, 50, 60, 70 years ago, rematches were quite common. If Lewis got beat by Walt, boom, there was a rematch. There always was a rematch clause. Everybody got a chance to see a rematch, especially if it left any doubt in anybody's mind. So that's been like a tradition in boxing for 100 years. So, I'm also one that don't want to see the competition killed off too early.
It's a lot of good competition in heavyweight. So if the matchups are done right, then you actually are going to have some pretty good things going on, some monetary things going on top of that.
Yep, I agree. There's so much money in the sport today. So much money. And then, I remember
done right.
20 years ago going to a banquet, and Lou Duva got up and said, "We made $72 million.
Oh.
We grossed worldwide in the movie theater." So for the fight with Buster Douglas and Evander Holyfield, was $72 million. Now what is it today? What would a great heavyweight title fight be today? I mean, $150 million, $200 million?
Wow.
Easily, don't you think?
$150 million. That's why Josh was profoundly disappointed.
Yeah, I would feel the same way. He waited all that time to fight him. He did get knocked down, and I think he'd like to redeem his reputation, mm-hmm. Finish it off, say, okay, I'm a better fighter than him, then go to the next guy. Then he might want to fight Wilder. Then he might want to fight Wilder down the road. But I don't want to see him knock each other off now. And who the hell, what do you watch, we'll look at the lighter divisions for a while. Then we'll come back to the heavyweights, every once in a while you come back to the heavyweights. When you get tired of seeing 150
I like what you're saying, especially when nobody's really rising above the heavyweights. Substantially.
Right.
Nobody's distinguishing themselves one above the other to the level to where they have to see them.
Right.
I mean, to where I'm the guy, you have to come, to see me. I'm the top of the mountain. Nobody's top of the mountain at heavyweight right now.
Yeah.
So, you have some guys that complains, and that's what makes I think that's what makes it good. I think that's what makes it better than not in the past. In the past, you had guys on certain levels. These guys, I'm going to be honest, they're not on the level that a Holyfield, Lewis, wrong. What makes it
Joshua
good is that they're competing to be on that. Exactly.
You know what else? I mean, how long can you watch bantamweights fight? I don't want to see I don't want to see 52 weeks a year of bantamweights. You know what I mean? I want to see bigger men once in a while. And then the heavyweight division is a breather. It gives you a chance to see a good, big, powerful guy fight, And then there's always color in the bigger divisions. But, all the bantamweight fights are great. They're fast as lightning. They beat the hell out of one another. I mean, they're all good boxers. But you do get tired of it. I mean, how many times do you want to see Willie Pep fight? A powder-puff puncher who danced around the ring. Made everybody look like a fool, much like Lomachenko.
It depends on your two. It depends on your two.
Start
moving up and fighting those rugged. I mean, I would like to see him fight Bob a lot.
Does Lomachenko have anything coming up?
Not in the near future.
I'd like to see him fight Rigondeaux.
They did come out with the announcement this week about the Warren Pacquiao rematch, and that's going to be November 11th. November 12th.
Where is that going to be held at? I'm sorry, but
right now
be held
it's slated for Vegas, but who knows?
Oh, that, Pacquiao wanted it for Vegas.
Yeah.
Or the Philippines, he wanted it for either one of those two.
Mhm. Well, guys, we're right up against our hour. I want to thank everybody for a great show. Chris, you're on point as always. Z, your dissertation on the on styles and the fights, you were right on point with your soapbox, as you called it. Kai, it's always great to have you back. Your knowledge of the game makes this show fantastic. So I appreciate everything all of you have done. So we're just about to close. So,
all right.
I want to thank everybody.
We got to figure out a way to combat Ronnie. I'm going to come up with an answer to it. I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to come up and get an answer for him somehow. He comes on. He got the edge on us right now. We'll get him next time. You know. He does have a. It is important what he's saying. I mean, you know, football is too much. My grandchildren are practicing football 5 nights a week. They're going to school practicing 5 nights a week. What the hell is going on?
Well,
too
they can't
much.
In Pop Warner. They can do 5 nights a week to the 1st of September, and then it has to go back to 3 nights a week.
Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah, 3 nights.
Yeah, you can't have kids practice 5 nights a week.
No.
They're going to school. Nice, give them a break. I mean, it's hot. You know, too much. It's supposed to be more a fun thing, and they're making it. These guys are not making it a fun thing for the kids. There's too much pressure on them, you know? What the hell? They're only kids. Let them be kids. You know?
That's right.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks
about Ronnie. We got to come up with a way to stop Ronnie. We'll figure it out. We'll get him next week. We'll bring him back and hammer him. All right.
Take care.
I'll see you guys.
Take it easy, Dr. Chris.
Take care.
Buddy, bye now.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there, please, please let them know that you know they're there. A simple smile, a wink, a handshake, or the best thing you can ever say is, be safe, my brother or my sister. It's a hard job. They're the ones that run in when everybody is running out. They're the ones that stand guard 24/7. Whether you're on duty or off duty, you're on duty. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcott, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Dandy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Robert Germain, Wilmington, May, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrol Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gitten, Euless, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Bardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Polo Salto, New York Police Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, and Corporal Stephen Bauer, Delaware State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Thank you.
love you. We miss you.